We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. Glad to welcome you back to the Crimson Tide Sports Network. And it's time for The Big Picture. It's presented by Legacy of Hope. You know, saving a life has never been easier. You can register online at legacyofhope.org to become an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Give the gift of life by becoming an organ donor today. Well, coming up this week, it's Alabama football against Tennessee in Knoxville. Once again, the Crimson Tide will be featured on CBS, so we figured it was time to check in with their sideline reporter, Jamie Erdahl, who joins us now over the phone, as she's actually making her way to Knoxville ready for this game. But Jamie, how's everything going?
So far, so good. As long as I get there on time and get settled in. I'm actually going on Coach's radio show Thursday night tonight, so I'm just making sure I get settled in so Eli doesn't, you know, have to kick me off the show or anything.
Yeah, we certainly don't want that to happen. And yeah, congratulations on an opportunity to be in our show coming up later. Are you excited to talk to Coach Saban in this kind of format?
I am, yeah. I mean, we get a lot of opportunities in advance of games to catch up with Coach, and while I always appreciate that, you know, I always like to give way to, especially Gary's, just ability to pick Coach's brain and make sure he gets, you know, his X's and O's questions answered. So any opportunity that I get to really have any one-on-one time with Coach Saban, or really any coach across the league, I think really, you know, helps my relationships with them, and it helps the broadcast too.
Well, I know last week, of course, you were there for Alabama against Georgia on CBS. And can you just kind of take us through what that week was like for you? Because on Wednesday, we got the news that Coach Saban had the positive COVID test. What were some of the next few days like for you trying to get ready for that broadcast?
It was honestly madness. You know, I am from Minnesota. I live near my parents, and my mom was joking that I always seem to be around her when breaking news happens. You know, when the NCAA tournament got canceled, I was around her, and Twitter just went up in flames. And I have a baby girl at home, and I just am like, Mom, take the baby. I need to focus on what's happening right now. So the same thing happened to me on Wednesday. You know, when that news came down about Coach Saban, you know, first and foremost, you're just kind of worried about the individual that it affects, but then also your brain just kind of runs like wildfire, you know, thinking of all the different situations that he could have been in leading up to that situation, and how many players or fellow coaches he could have impacted if indeed, you know, the positive tests had been. And we had already seen LSU Florida get postponed last weekend. So I definitely, my brain snowballed, you know, in the first couple hours. We had to change a plan and have Dennis Dodd on, one of our national writers, come on a little Facebook chat that I had to have. So it was just kind of, you know, a firestorm in the easiest sense of the term. But, you know, as we all kind of settled in and understood the SEC's policy and how they handle things, you know, you obviously had to kind of let this play out. And I had the opportunity to speak with Coach on Friday afternoon, and he honestly seemed like to be in a great mood, and maybe because he knew he was two tests closer to returning to the sideline. But I think it just goes to show that, you know, you have to really stay tuned with how you're feeling. And he was very asymptomatic, but this is also one of those, like, let the chips fall where they may. And for him, it obviously turned out great, but what a crazy world we're living in right now to think that we just straight up wouldn't have Nick Saban on a sideline for a game.
Certainly, we're glad to get him back. And you talk about the crazy world we're in. Just from your perspective and your job on the CBS broadcast, what is it like trying to be a sideline reporter during a pandemic, making sure that social distancing still is in place with what you have to do?
You know, there are some positives and there's some negatives. For me, selfishly, you know, in the SEC especially, recruiting is such a major factor for these programs. And every other season, it's really hard for me on game days, especially we have obviously the best game of the week every week. So that's always a big, heavy recruiting weekend wherever we are. Sometimes it's tough for me to get a good view of the field, like physically when the game is occurring, because there's so many recruits and family members on the field. So selfishly, when all these rules came down and I realized that I was one of the lucky few who were actually going to be allowed on the field when the game was being played, I got down there. I feel like I breathed a sigh of relief just because I could see, you know, game action a lot easier than I could any other season. But then obviously the negatives are, it, no matter how many fans are in the stadium, you know, it's still a loud environment and it's hard to kind of have like quick, intimate conversations with coaches, you know, going in and out of the half when you're usually like really talking into their ear. And I think that's been the hardest part about some of those off-camera conversations, is trying to remain cognizant of how many people the coaches have been around, how many people I've been around, but then not try, you know, it's just so tricky. You know, the CDC talks about close contact with people. It's like, how do you, you know, less than 15 minutes, you know, you got to get in and out. So there's been some tricks of the trade, but, you know, we're rolling with it, and I don't think our broadcast has faltered at all.
No, not at all. And you've been able to see the Crimson Tide in the Texas A&M game, and then, of course, last week against Georgia. Now again coming up for the Crimson Tide and the Tennessee Volunteers. Just what's impressed you the most about Alabama so far this year?
Honestly, the more I get to talk to, I know the defense is impressive, and I know they had a lot of guys coming back, which was really good for that group. But the more I get to know the guys who are on the offensive side of the ball, this to me feels like a really loose, fun group that has a ton of good chemistry. They're just something about him. I caught up with John Metchie yesterday. Mac Jones, I feel like, is always cracking jokes on the phone. And it's just a fun group. They seem light. You know, I wonder if just playing football in a pandemic and the world is just crazy to all of us right now. And, you know, to me, it just seems like these guys are really taking it for what it is. They have the opportunity to play. They really felt like that wasn't going to happen for them at some point, which I'm sure is scary for these young men. And I think they're just kind of light on their feet and happy to be out there, you know, doing the thing that they love.
Yeah, have there been any stories so far you've really enjoyed learning about these Crimson Tide players that you have been able to share, or maybe we will get to see coming up during the Tennessee game or later on this season?
Yeah, well, the big thing, I think I mentioned, you know, catching up with John Metchie, and just his background is remarkable. Coming from Canada and learning about his home life, and his mother is so academically oriented. You know, he had that breakout game against Texas A&M a couple weeks ago, and she's, you know, she doesn't really watch his games, and so really she just hears back home like whether or not he does well. And I guess he got on the phone with her afterwards and she said, "Oh, John, I heard you had a good game, but did you get your homework done?" And I just thought that was so fantastic, you know. And he's just such a well-rounded young man, and I'm sure he did get his homework done that day. But just the fact that, what else do parents do than keep you humble even when you're kind of riding the top of the world? But even the fact that I'm talking about John Metchie and this team still has Devontae Smith and Jaylen Waddle on it, I think just tells you how much of a spark this offense could have. And I think they can honestly make it a long way before a team is going to figure out how to stop this offense.
Well, as we start to wrap things up, Jamie, of course, you get to team up with Brad Nessler and Gary Danielson for the SEC on CBS. What can you tell our fans about those guys away from games, away from the microphone, that maybe they don't know, and can getting a better understanding of those two?
Well, I can tell you that the three of us are devastated that we don't get to have as what we like to call fellowship during the weekend. You know, we usually have our SEC on CBS bus that follows us around all of our games. We don't have it this season just because not a lot of 6-foot wiggle room on that thing. So, you know, usually the three of us fly into Atlanta. We meet at the same time on Thursdays. We get on the bus and we bus to Tuscaloosa because we tend to have you guys pretty often. We tend to come to town pretty often and we really miss that time together. But I think having our first couple seasons, you know, with all that team chemistry that gets on the air, that I hope it, you know, comes off that way, that, but it's, you know, we're doing our best to make sure we're on the air every week, but that just means we have to stay apart, which is challenging. But we really love each other on and off the air, and then hopefully it comes across that way.
It certainly does. You guys do a great job, and our fans are looking forward to watching, of course, on CBS, Tennessee and Alabama coming up this week. And Jamie, we're going to let you run. We know you got to get to Knoxville, but just best wishes in your travels. And also, good luck tonight on Hey Coach and the Nick Saban Show. We look forward to it, but thank you for joining us on our network today.
Well, thank you. This is a good warm-up.
All right. Our thanks to Jamie Erdahl, and of course, thank you for watching the Crimson Tide Sports Network.